Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live. There you go. I like that volume. We're coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you are considering a career in the entertainment industry. And our guests will provide you on advice on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in the entertainment industry. And our guests include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony winners, reality TV stars, producers, directors, actors, singers, dancers, casting directors, talent managers, screenwriters, novelists. I'm exhausted. The list goes on and on and on. If they are working professionally in show business, we are going to have them on this show to give you great entertainment career advice. And we make sure that guests are at various stages of their careers, from beginner to professional. And that is so that we can have someone on the show that'll definitely be able to help you with show business career questions. Because, you know, there's beginning people, there's working actors, there's professional, all different types. We got them all. And you can listen to any of our past shows by going to our archive page of the LA Talk Radio website. That's latalkradio.com. You just go to channel one. There's a drop-down box. You click Question Reality, and that takes you directly to our archive page. We've been on the air for 8 years, and you know we're hot. We got it going on over here. We have just revamped our website, so please go and check it out. We just did the app, so you want to go to latalkradio.com, scroll down. Oh, gosh, I don't even know where the app is now. I'm imagining it's on the homepage, but it's a hot app, and you got to have it because not only you get to listen to my show, but there's a ton of shows. There, no matter what you're into, what your interest is, there is a show for you on LA Talk Radio, so please download the app. We just redid the website. It looks hot. Hot on the Priscilla Poppy Seed scale. It's a 10. So you got to check it out. You will love it. We got great shows. Now, you can also listen to our show or download them on iTunes under the podcast section and on Stitcher.com. Again, you just go Question Reality Radio in the search box, and there we are. Now, as you know, if you want to find out about who's going to be on the show from now until next year, as you know, we're booked 6 months to a year in advance. But don't give up hope. You can still be on the show if you're working professionally. Go to our official website, which is questionrealityradioshow.com. questionrealityradioshow.com, and you can submit. We're currently booking for January, February, March. So if you want to come on the show, again, submit, and we will make sure that we will consider you. You will be considered and reviewed, and you'll possibly come on the show. And there's so much excitement going on here right now. My picture's being taken. There's video going on. All kinds of stuff going on that's exciting. So again, download our free app for your Android or iPhone, and you'll be good to go. Now, as always, you know, we have some hot, hot guests on. We just had Evan Brinkman on, the little boy from Trainwreck, who Judd Apatow said was the one to look out for. He's like the next child star. Amy Schumer loves him. She thinks he's great. We have a wonderful, a talented guy. Now, you know, I can spot a talented director. You know, we just had Robert Kubo on here, who I think is going to be the next Michael Bay. He was on the show with Eileen Gruba and Carmen Argenziano from Stargate. Remember Selmac? And who else did he play, Albert? Carmen Argenziano was Selmac.
I remember him from Stargate.
Put your little microphone on so we can hear you too. Little Albert, you know, Albert's running the show over there. Get ready with the applause when we're getting ready to introduce him. So as We have a guy on the show today. I'm so happy. He's all the way. He came all the way from New York, not to see me, but he came to go to AFM, but he just fit it right in. It just fit right into his schedule. His name is Brad, and I hope I can remember to pronounce his last name, but he'll correct me. Brad Hasse?
Hasse?
Yeah! Wow! What?
That's flattering. That's nice.
Yeah! My God! See, I think everybody should, as they enter a room, I think everybody should have an applause meter, and you should have a wind, like a fan where it can blow through your hair, and there should be wafting scents. I think that's how we should all be entered into a room, right, Brad?
That'd be nice.
I think.
But that little applause was nice. That kind of picks you up. You know?
Yeah, and you deserve applause. Yeah. You've been rocking and rolling. Now, we are going to have so many questions to ask Brad today. Specifically, we're going to ask him, as a director, what are some of his pet peeves about actors at auditions or after he casts them? This is for you, so you can take note and not do it. And what can an actor do that would make them memorable and make him want to cast them again? We're going to ask, what are some things an actor should avoid doing if they want to be continuously hired as a working actor from a director's perspective? What do you expect from an actor during the filming process? What steps do you have to take to begin building a successful directing career? So we got tons of questions, and they're going to come. So just be patient. I want you to go to his website right now. It's Brad, BRADHASSE.com. He's also on Twitter. And I got to compliment him, because, you know, every time I have someone on the show who consistently brands themselves with their name, I have to give them 10 poppy seeds, because that is so smart. So many times do we see people in the entertainment industry and they've got, oh, Flower Moonchild. Where do I find you? You know, they're an actor. And where do I find you? Oh, Flower Moonchild on Twitter. And then on Facebook, they got another name. And then on Instagram, it's another name. Do not do that. You have to brand and market yourself with your name if you want people to know you. So Brad has successfully done that. He's on Twitter as Brad
Hasse.
Thank you. And he's on Instagram as Brad
_ Hasse.
And he's on Facebook as
Brad Hasse.
Yes. So he is doing it right. There you go. Now, before we talk to Brad, I want to tell you something I just discovered. For you theater lovers, there is a new play that I heard about, and we are so excited to see it. It is called Timeshare, and it's written and directed by Steve B. Green, and it's starring Tony Pauletto, Sarah Klein, J.C. O'Connell, Mabry Stewart, and John Mulock. And now, I tell you, the reason I wanted to tell you about this is because this is a story that I have never heard of before. So I'm always, you know, my little ears perked right out when I heard this, and I thought, oh, I want to promote it. It's a dark comedy. It's an insider's view of timeshare sales. And this timeshare salesman thinks that he's having the worst day ever. He's got a horrible boss. He's got threatening coworkers. There's sexual harassment going on. And then what happens? A disgruntled customer comes in and takes the showroom hostage, and that salesman must close the deal or die. So I love that, right, Brad? Doesn't that sound good?
Yeah, it sounds.
Sounds scary. I'm actually just interested in seeing the guy close a timeshare sale, because I didn't even know timeshares were left, right? I thought that went out in the 70s, but apparently not. So, go figure. So, that opened this Friday, and it runs through December the 13th, Friday and Saturdays at 8 p.m., and Sunday matinees at 2, and it is at the Eclectic Company Theater, 5312 Laurel Canyon Boulevard in Valley Village. And the tickets are $18, but there are some discounted tickets available on goldstar.com. That's where I get all my tickets. Do you buy stuff off Goldstar?
I don't.
Is Brad, that, oh.
I need to get on
honey, this? Honey, that's where you can get really discounted tickets. Oh, you don't even know.
Goldstar.com. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, on Goldstar.
Yes, I have been buying tickets from them for about 10 years to all of the top events. Mm-hmm. All the top events. So, Goldstar.com, and the website is eclecticcompanytheater.org. For example, mm-hmm. I'll tell you, Brad. We haven't even intro Brad yet. We're talking about Gold Star tickets. This is how Brad and I are bonding. We're bonding over here.
I'm learning.
You're learning. Gold Star. My friend, Michael Orland, mm-hmm. musical director for American Idol, right? Every year, he is involved in being the musical director for Lithgow Productions, which, you know, So You Think You Can Dance, you know, mm-hmm. that show with yep. Nigel Lithgow. So he works at the Pasadena Playhouse, and he does all of the shows. It's called Panto Theater. Now, you should know what Panto is, being from New York. That's where, you know, they get the audience involved. Mm-hmm. So it's always a Christmas show, like Aladdin or Snow White or something. And the tickets are usually very expensive, right? Like $50, $60, $70, but you go on Gold Star and you can get them for like $25.
Wow.
So there you go. So Gold Star. Is it Gold Star? Yeah, goldstar.com. Check it out.
Yeah.
Okay, so we wanted Brad, let me tell you, you got to keep an eye out. This guy is hot and happening. He is the next, I don't know, but he is a name that's going to become household. You're going to want to wear a t-shirt. No, wait a minute. You're actually going to wear a hat, and it would be called a texting hat. Now, let me tell you how I came across Brad. As everybody knows, I am a screener for the Burbank Film Festival. So I'm doing my screening of my 500 films, and I got one eye open, I'm half dead, and all of a sudden, Brad's film comes on, Texting Hat. First, I looked at the title. I'm like, what could this be about? And I started watching it. Oh, my God, it was hysterical. I had tissues. I was laughing, and I'm not a hearty laugher. People know I'm a chuckler. I don't do the hearty laugh. He got some heartiness out of me. I was just losing it. It is the funniest thing. You got to go and check it out. The website, textinghat.com. Yep. Textinghat.com. I imagine the whole thing's on there, so you can watch it in its entirety.
Yes, yes.
It is funny as hell. I kid you not. Again, 10 on the Priscilla Poppy Seed scale. It is just out of this world funny. So let me tell you a little bit about Brad. Now, Brad has a very diverse background in commercials, music videos, documentaries, and television, and he has shot in over 20 countries in pursuit of all varieties of stories and content. And some of his clients include, what do I use on a daily basis? Listerine. Love Listerine. One of his clients is United Colors of Benetton. Oh, God, I bought everything from Benetton back in the 80s. Auto Trader, MTV, and music videos for RJD2, Grammatic. Oh, Lord, no, this is young stuff. I can't even pronounce this. Is it right?
Grammatic.
And Moby. Now, mm-hmm. I've heard of him. He's a singer, right?
Yeah.
Hot singer. And ADC Young Guns X mm-hmm. and Fabrica. He is a fellowship recipient,
yeah.
right, of both of those.
Yeah, Fabrica is a program that was actually owned by United Colors of Benetton.
Oh.
Where they brought artists out from around the world to come collaborate, and they give you like a one-year contract out there.
Wow.
Do you know Olivier Toscani from Colors Magazine?
Yeah.
He's a photographer, so
yeah.
he started it with Luciano Benetton.
Wow.
It was this little playground of directors and photographers and designers and artists and all kinds of people. So.
Wow. And you got a fellowship. What did you have to do to get that fellowship?
I had to apply for it and get denied once. Come back a couple years later, apply again, finally get in.
Good.
You get you go on a 2-week trial. It's in Treviso, Italy, which is right next to Venice.
Wow.
And then I got it, and then they flew me back out, and then that's it. So
wow.
I was out there for a year and then renewed it, and I was staying for almost a full other year too. So
that's very impressive.
Yeah, so it was fun.
Now, you often combine practical and visual effects mm-hmm. with humorous dialogues, as you will see in Texting Hat, textinghat.com. And you're distinguished by your highly inventive and absurdist creative vision, which the Young Director Review calls seriously wacky, totally weird, and rather wonderful. You seem normal. What's going on? I don't know. I don't see all this. I see you as so professional, and you're hiding all that from me, aren't you, Brad?
It's all caged in.
So you're caged. And Brad's comedic and pop culture sensibilities inspired his multitude of viral videos, including, as we were just talking about, Texting Hat. And also, he has Planet of the Apes Party Fun Time. I can't even imagine what that's about. That sounds fun. And the likes of which have been featured on the home pages of Creativity, Creative Review, and BuzzFeed, among others. Yeah. My God, that's so impressive. And by the way, when you sent me this bio, I was so impressed because you don't even know what I have to go through when people send me their bios. They send 14 pages and I got to go through and pull them and I tell them one paragraph. So this was beautifully written. Now, did you write this yourself? This is gorgeous.
No, it's over the years, as you go with different companies and things like that, it's whittled down, changed here, go there. So
beautifully written. It says it all. It probably doesn't even say as much as you want it to, but it's perfectly written. Now, Texting Hat, for those who haven't seen it yet, what is it about?
It is, well, it was over the winter months, and I wanted to do a fake commercial, something absurd. So I was thinking of fake products.
Right.
And the Texting Hat was the most ridiculous one I could think of. And then I started writing it, and I decided, you know what, this is better off as like a short film. And what it's about, it's basically a reaction to everyone everywhere now, always being on their phone, looking down, and all you see now is the top of people's foreheads. And whether you're walking into a store, or you're sitting on the bus, or you're walking down the street, or even sitting with a friend, like everyone's always on their phone. So I made up this hat that has your face on top of it, so when you're looking down, we could still see your face.
And I'm looking at the hat right now, and it's a picture of Brad. I love this hat. I'm telling you, it's hysterical. And you know what? Brad sells them on his website, which I hope is just very profitable for you because it's genius. How did you come up with that idea?
So it was supposed to be a joke, and it was just a short film, but then places like Fast Company picked it up on their website. And the comedy sites like Laughing Squid and things like that. But I think from Fast Company, it then spread on to different broadcast like news shows and things like that around the world. And one of them was in Australia called The Living Room. And they have a segment called Hot or Not where they feature these products. And they wrote me and said, can we feature your product? How much is it? Does it sell for? And can we have some? And I made up a number of how much it's sold for and said, yes, you could have some. And then they said, great, can you send them? I said, okay. And now I had to make the product.
So gosh.
So then it became a real thing at that moment.
So you told your wife that you can't have you got to clear out your closet because we're putting all my Texting Hats there, right?
I got a little section for it, yeah.
Wow. So are you personally making them or do you have like your whole family pitching in?
No,
or?
I was doing all the props for the short I did myself, which was crazy because I had to make 20 of them. And the process I was doing of printing and cutting out and ironing on was pretty intense. So I didn't sleep the night before the short. But now I'm actually doing a direct-to-garment printing. So I found a place that does that, and so I'm doing it a little bit
more. Well, thank God you didn't go to China.
Yeah.
keeping it in America. Keeping it good. All right. So you can buy these hats, again, on his website, textinghat.com. And I would imagine the process is they just upload their picture?
They send me, once they order it, there's an email sent out to them. They send me a photo. And I cut it out, and then we've got it on there.
That is, how great is it? This is a perfect gift for Christmas.
Yes.
It is perfect,
yes, the whole family,
right?
Unfortunately, needs to have them.
Yes.
I wish this didn't exist. I wish.
You're going to become a multimillionaire.
And I'll be happy. It'll be bittersweet.
And see, if you can get on the ground, because I'm telling, ground up with getting your very first Texting Hat. If you go to the website, and I mean, this is the funniest thing. And what you can do is you can, you know, you're on a date with your boyfriend or your husband, and you say, hey, let's watch this movie. And then you whip out the present after the hat. You've gotten them the hat. that.
Yes.
Because obviously you're going to love the little short, right? And then they got the hat, and that's perfect. It's going to be hysterical. And then they're going to tell their friends and friends, you're going to be a millionaire.
Thank you.
I will. You really
are. I'll be very upset for the world if I become a millionaire off of this. I don't know that I've...
I don't know
if I'm part of the problem then or what.
You got to get in, though.
There's a disclaimer on the site saying, don't use this while walking, driving, being with other people. In fact, don't use it at all.
No.
That's our...
No, it's lovely. It's the greatest thing. So when you go to his website, textinghat.com, seamless process. What are they going for, like $20?
$30.
$30.
Trying to get them less expensive. It's a tough thing.
Well, when you make it in America, you can, you know, in China, what's it, a cent to make it? But here, we got to keep it here. So go there now and order this for Christmas. My God, I want to get one for Albert and I to have for Christmas.
That'd be nice.
Love it. Now, what did you want Texting Hat's overall message to be to the audience?
I mean, it was just a social commentary on where we're at now as a society, how we're not really connected with each other, but we're more connected to our phones. And the whole motto of it was trying to bring eye contact back to the 21st century. And so it's just basically a social commentary
it's
on this.
So original. Believe me, I'm a screener, and I screen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of movies over the years. Never seen anything like Texting Hat. Never.
Maybe the next version of Texting Hat could have cameras where the eyes are. So when it's on your head and you're looking down, you can actually see.
Still see the eyes.
Oh, no. Don't give Brad
that's the $500 version, but I agree with you. I would like, if anyone wants to partner up on this.
Don't give Brad any more ideas. You're taking him off course. Now, commercials. Now, you said that that they're really fun to work on. Obviously, getting paid is a lot of fun. But other than that, what makes directing a commercial so much fun?
It's fun. What happens a lot is I do a lot of side projects, such as Texting Hat, or a lot of my music videos actually are ones that are a lot of self-initiated, where I reach out to the artist or something. And it's exciting with the commercials now. It took me a long time to kind of build up to where I am at now. But I feel like I've developed a pretty strong brand of the things I like to do. So when I do a commercial, they're actually coming to me for that same reason, to do something absurd or fun or ridiculous, and something we're going to play around sometimes with visual effects, like the last thing we just did with the Listerine commercial. So I like that actually we get the budgets and the access to do these things, plus the promotion is out there so people just can see it. So it's fun, like, doing this at a higher level and having more toys to play with when it comes to it.
Yeah, and having somebody else pay for it is always a good thing. Now, I haven't seen any of your commercials, but based on seeing Texting Hat, you're obviously quite talented, and that's one of the reasons you're continuing to build up more clients in the commercial world. But before your first commercial, to represent your commercial work, what did you showcase your directing talents to be considered for a commercial directing job?
I did. Actually, I was lucky in the sense that when I was at Fabrica, the World Health Organization came to us with a campaign or with a pitch for a campaign and asked us if we'd do something. So I directed my first commercial there. So that was more through that. They knew that I was part of the program. They came to us and were able to do it that way. So it wasn't the traditional process of having a reel and showing it. So things like that helped me develop and create my first commercials. And then from commercials that are real commercials like that, and also spec projects, combining all those things together is what leads to more clients.
Mm.
But a lot of spec and personal projects, and even some of the music videos, like Planet of the Apes Party Fun Time, which is this mashup. I took the original Planet of the Apes with Charlton Heston, and I remixed it into a 2-minute short where he's looking for a dance party on this planet with glow sticks and disco balls and things like that. And people see that and they go, we want to do a commercial like that.
Ah.
So the music videos and the side projects and the short films and these experiments could actually be used to say, hey.
You put them on a reel. You create it like a reel.
Yep.
Wow. And how did you book the Listerine commercial? Did someone say, hey, I want Brad based on seeing your reel? Or did you say, oh, I'm going to submit for the Listerine commercial? Or?
I did a project a couple years ago for the big ad gig. And the art director on that was the art director in Listerine. Ah. And she saw some of my recent stuff as well and told her her colleagues there, let's take a look at him. And currently I'm with a production company called Derby, based out of New York. So then they approached the production company. in a company, then together we collaborate and pitch on it.
Are you the only one at the production company, only director?
No, there's two others right now. There's some others right now.
And did you guys all work together on the Listerine commercial?
No, you individually do it. Like, there's one comedy person, which is me.
You're the funny guy.
there's different genres and everything. So you kind of...
Have we seen the Listerine commercial? Is it out now?
It's out, yes. Yes, it is out. Yeah. It's a web spot, but it is out.
I want to see it. Now, you have a diverse background in directing commercials, music videos, documentaries, and television. Mm-hmm. What are some major differences between directing these projects?
So I started off in the industry as like a one-stop shop. Mm-hmm. When I got out of college, that was just starting to happen. So it's basically you go out with a camera, you shoot the whole thing, you come home, you edit it, and you deliver the finished product. Mm. So a lot of the TV stuff that I started as and the docu-type stuff, where there was like profile pieces of artists for MTV, or I did like I traveled around Japan and Europe with a band and made like a one-hour doc of them. All those things were very like self-initiated and started and very, very, very small in regards to the production of itself. Mm. Now, when it comes to TV and when I shoot and DP TV stuff, it's much bigger crews. But then when it comes to directing, that's a much bigger crew. So it's a very nimble process versus a much bigger kind of bus to steer.
Mm.
So that's the big difference of where it is now.
So many differences. What would enable a person to be able to successfully work amongst all those mediums? Because just because you work on short films or television or theater doesn't mean that you can segue in and out of these mediums unless there are certain things. What do you feel are the certain things that would make somebody successful to be able to do it all like you do?
First of all, to break into each of them, it's a catch-22. You need to have done it in order to do the next one. So like I said, I was lucky with the commercial part where that came to me because of the situation I was in. But everything else, I had to do one first to show that I could do it and then move on to the next. So if you're looking to break into all these different ones and you're already doing documentary but you want to do commercials, you have to maybe on spec or maybe on a side project or maybe re-edit something, you have to create something that's actually in that genre that you're doing. And then just as a director and personality type, I think it's always communication and research and understanding what the needs of that genre is or what that area is.
And make sure you have a day job while you're doing all this now, right? Now, exciting news. You are currently attempting to create a feature film, and you said that that's very humbling. How so?
First of all, I said that, and now I'm stopping to use the word attempting and just saying I am, because if I say attempting, then that doesn't do very good for the confidence of it, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to make a feature film. We're writing it right now. It's actually the lead actor that was in Texting at, Richard Holman, and myself are writing it together. And the DP, Evan J. Cohen, who shot Texting Hat, will DP it as well. And what we're doing is we're figuring out how to do a single location feature film on a micro budget that we could do on our own and not wait for anyone's permission to do it and basically pull it off that way.
Well, are you going to do an Indiegogo or Kickstarter campaign?
Probably
or are
not.
You going to fund it yourself?
I've been listening to a lot of the Duplass brothers and Joe Swanberg and kind of hearing their philosophy on this type of stuff and the super, super micro budget type of thing where you get everyone just involved to collaborate together and do that.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's so much better.
It's fun and exciting because it's going to be something very personal.
And you have the technology to do it. And you have the skills to do it. Mm-hmm. It's not like you have to hire people to do it. Mm-hmm. You know what you want to do, but you can't do it. So that just makes it so much better.
Yeah.
What is it called?
I'm not going to say that yet.
You're not going to say.
I could talk about the whole process of it and everything because we're very much developing it and we have a lot of... basically like a giant mood board right now with the story that needs to be developed more.
By the way, you mentioned the other cast member in Texting Hat, but that the lady, the girl, she was phenomenal. What's her name?
Alana Becker.
Hilarious. I was looking for pictures when I was promoting you coming on the show, and I went to Google Images and I typed it, and it were the funniest shots, but every one of her, she was in character and funny, just nailing the part she was in. Those looks,
they're
really good comedic timing.
A few years prior to that, I was doing a project for, I won't say the client now, but she was my number one in that, and I wanted to cast her. And I thought she was hilarious, she was on point, she had such a great look, like everything, and they wouldn't let me cast her. They wanted more of the girl next door, which, and, like, she just had, I think that her intensity And her originality was almost too much for this campaign. And so then later on, when I was trying to cast Texting Hat, I was like, oh my gosh, that I remember her.
Yeah.
I got to bring her in. And then sure enough, she was perfect for it.
Oh,
and just
yeah.
did an amazing job. And the chemistry between the two of them was fantastic.
Really good.
And they just, they really, it was fun. Like we, during the fitting, they actually came in and gave a lot of themselves to like sit there, go through the script, looked at a lot of different stuff, references, and really developed like that
you
tone.
Wrote it, right?
Yes.
You wrote it,
yeah.
And you directed it.
And yes, and edited it.
And right. Wrote it, directed, edited it, and it's perfect. Yeah. It is perfect. Oh, how you could pull that off. I wrote my very first little screenplay, and I have yet to feel confident enough to get out there and shoot it. Even though I've had people say, oh, it's so great, and it's this and that, and very significant people, mind you, but I just don't, I don't trust it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's always like the first one, you don't feel, it's scary.
It's like this feature right now I want to do. I know that it's going to work
out. Well, you're
out.
Jumping right out to a feature. I'm at least doing like a 20-minute short.
Yeah.
I'm not that confident. Wow. Now, I love that you said that you're thoroughly studying all the books that you can on screenwriting, and you want to write the feature that you can direct on a minimal budget. Now, if you can't, this is your opinion, if you can't afford or want to go to film school, there are so many ways available for you to learn free how to become a filmmaker and also to actually shoot on your own on a shoestring budget. And I would personally highly recommend a website that I found on Groupon, which was originally an $850 course for $25. And it was an introduction to their website. I had just written my first short film, and I was taking the course. So I had written the short film, and I said, you know, it doesn't feel right. Oh, I need to take, and I ran across this course. And I learned that everything I had done in my script as far as formatting, they were things you weren't supposed to do. So it has just buried me. But I just love that. And it helped me tremendously because, you know, I love how they give you pop quizzes and little homework assignments. And I wanted to point that out. If you have an interest in becoming a screenwriter, go to screenplayscripts.com. I'm not affiliated with them. I don't know anybody over there. I just took the course and I just loved it. And it helped me so much. And so I wanted to ask you, what are some of the ways that you can suggest to for a person who wants to, because you're going through that. Mm-hmm. What did you do? Like, you're writing your first feature. What did you do to learn how to do it?
I'm picking. Let me adjust this mic real quick. It's a squeaks.
Squeak.
There we go. I'm going through all the motions on this. Like, I came up shooting and directing and kind of figuring that out, but I didn't come up writing. So the reason I said before that's very humbling is because, you know, it's a whole different process and everything. And I've written different things, and I co-wrote a feature with a friend a while back that we did not get a chance to shoot yet. But this was like a time when I really wanted to get into it, really understand it from the ground on up. And
it's
and
a process,
nail it.
Brad. People think they can just write it.
Yeah.
You can't.
No.
There's some formatting shit happening that you're like, what? And then there's like the three, you know, what are the three things that are in comedy? It's like everything that has a k sound is supposed to be funny. Why? I don't know. But apparently it is. But there's like structure and format. Yeah. I was writing paragraphs, Brad. I was doing all the dialogue for what was happening off the screen. You know, she walks, she sits, her leg and this. You know, no.
But you, I mean, and you go through the books and basically like just being scholarly about it. Like you have Sid Field's screenplay. You even have Save the Cat. You have Story by Robert McKee. You have all those, and it's like there's so much access to these things now. And, of course, every time one of those wrote a book, they wrote four other sequels to that about how to do other things. So between that and just all the online blogs, and then the biggest thing, like streaming is fantastic, like Netflix and all these things. But go if you're starting out, go to Netflix, get the DVD membership for it, get the DVDs, and listen to the director's commentary. And not that that's always brought up with the screenwriting itself, but when it comes to filmmaking, it's I'm hoping this doesn't become a lost art of like it there's so much information there and so much access to these directors speaking to you throughout the entire movie.
Right.
And you hear, you know, Francis Ford Coppola talk about The Godfather, you know, you're sitting there and it's just incredible. So still getting DVDs, listening to the director's commentary right after you watch the film is a phenomenal way to really learn about the filmmaking process.
No one in the 8 years that I've been doing this show has made that suggestion. That is perfect. That's a great suggestion.
It's just a treasure chest of
information. It is. I mean, God, you can't talk to these directors, mm-hmm. but they're talking to you, and they're telling you how they did it. Yeah. So listen, that's wonderful. Ooh, I love that. Love it, love it, love it, love it. Now, on your personal projects, along with being a director, you also, as we talked about, you edit, you're the DP. So tell me, is this a plus or a minus wearing all these hats when you do your projects? No pun intended.
it's difficult, and it depends on the type of project. And for example, this last one, I did not DP it. Evan J. Cohen did, and did a fantastic job, and he could do much better than I ever could do. And on top of that, I'm able to focus on the characters and the action and all these things. So I am preferring, as things progress, to do less and less and just focus specifically on directing.
On the writing.
You know, I do love writing. At the same time, like I said, I'm doing this micro-budget film, but I'm also looking at the same time for a finished script that I could get attached to and do it the proper way, where you get actors attached and you end up years down the road, you do the thing. So I'm concurrently working on these two things. And with that type of project, I would come on solely as a director and execute in that sort of way and focus 100%.
But it's good that you did all these things, mm-hmm. because you know how they should be done. And if, you know, someone flips out on the set, which mm-hmm. happens, honey, you can just get on in there and just do the job because you know how to do it. So I always recommend that you wear as many texting hats as possible. wear as many hats as possible.
It's absolutely. It's the more you could learn, especially in the beginning, the better off it is. And even if you're a director, go take acting classes.
Yes.
Because if you understand what the actors are going through and you understand what it feels like to have direction thrown at you, or to have like this vague statement stated at you, like pretend like you're happy but hungry at the same time while you're also feeling the sensation of the ocean next to you. It's like, well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Because in order to do somebody else's job, I mean, think about it logically. Wouldn't you want to know how to do it first, mm-hmm. so that you know the limitations or mm-hmm. the expectations? But some people don't. And then they come up to the director, well, why can't you do that? The producer would do that. Mm-hmm. Why can't you do that? Or the screenwriter, why can't you do that? And an actor, why can't you do it? But you should learn as much as possible. So with today's technology, you should be able to shoot it and edit it and direct it
craft
and produce
services.
It and craft service.
You want to know how to make some nice food.
Yes. Do
where
it
you get
all
the good
yourself.
Twizzlers. Not the old ones. You know,
no,
when someone's on set and it's the old Twizzlers and they're all hard.
Twizzlers.
And you can only use them as straws.
No.
You want the new ones.
The new ones. Yeah. Now, when you do all these, a lot of people ask this, when you do all these jobs yourself, do you worry about whether you're missing a creative element that another person could contribute? I don't, because I want it. I'm like, I want it done my way. Mm-hmm. That's the way I want it. I don't worry about what you're thinking. But some people, they're like, because you know, a collaborative team, they do bring a different perspective. Mm-hmm. So I can understand that. But what do you think?
I love collaboration and the straight out. Yes. If I'm doing it solely on my own, I am afraid that you're missing something. Whether it be my executive producer or the actor or the DP, I love having that team there, which is why I like working whenever possible with the same people over and over, because you develop that on set. You know, it's open. You're able to go back and forth, and you're able to do something better.
I'm so glad you said. Did you hear what Brad just said? How you said you like working with the same people over and over. I get into so many discussions with people where people are bitching, whining, and complaining about how directors and producers or the powers that be only choose certain actors to work with and certain directors and certain producers. Like Ron Howard has been accused of that, and God, I could just name a bunch of, but I think, Scorsese. And they say it's a click, you know, it's a click. Yeah. It's not a click. If you find a group of people that you like working with and they're professional and they do exactly what you need them to do and you can depend on them and rely on them, that is why these directors and producers choose to work with the same actors and
especially
the same people.
On a feature, I mean, you look, whether it's a super indie and it's a 15-day schedule or a bigger one, and it's 45 or 50 days, like you're... That's a long time to be with this person.
Yeah.
Like, so you really have to have that chemistry going there and that ability to work with each other. And, you know,
And that's why people do it, because they're easy to work with. Mm-hmm. Now, working on any final touches of a project, what do you feel should be the priority order to make it as perfect as possible? Like finishing touches?
The
Because when it gets to that point, mm-hmm. you know how when you're almost finished mm-hmm. and you almost feel like, God, I just want to get it done. Yeah. And you get a little sloppy sometimes. Not me personally, mm-hmm. but I've seen it done. We're like, that's not going to matter. That's not going to matter in post-production.
I'm actually learning to try to do that more.
Oh, yeah.
Because I will, if I'm editing myself, I'll be up all night.
Yes.
When
22
actually,
hours I spent on a music video.
Yeah. So you do that. So it's more... I'm more OCD about it and more just want to have everything perfect and perfect and perfect. And you have to kind of understand a little bit, like, down the road, like, how to let go just the tiniest bit.
Yeah.
Because it just will drive you nuts and you mm-hmm. keep on editing and going and going.
I hate editing. I don't know about you. I can't. Oh, it
I
drives
it.
Me.
I
do
still
you?
Love it. Yeah, yeah. That's what's hard for me. Like, there's some great editors to collaborate with. But when I have it and it's on my computer... I will just go over it over and over
See,
and over again.
See, that's why I can't do it because there's so much good footage. And you're like, oh, no, I want that and I want that. Yeah. And then you end up with a 4.5 Gone with the Wind sequel if you just keep going.
Well, don't get me wrong. I'm brutal with my own stuff. I will cut anything out. Like, I'm not precious about it.
Oh.
But I love that process of going and everything. So I will.
I'm precious about it myself. Yeah. Now, what is your absolute dream film to direct?
My dream film would be if Charlie Kaufman said, Brad, I heard you on the show with Priscilla.
Yeah, that's what
happened.
And
here's my latest script. I decided not to direct the next one. Here it is. It's the next being John Malkovich. Or, you know, I love stuff like that. And I love things with, like, magical realism. But I also love things with a lot of heart, which that does have it too. But I just saw Lars and the Real Girl.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fantastic.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's beautiful.
On my Netflix to-do list.
It was so grounded. And it's this visual image that is absurd and ridiculous. If you guys don't know, it's about this guy who basically brings home a sex doll as his girlfriend. And there's nothing sexual necessarily about it. It's legitimately, he thinks this is his girlfriend. And his family and the community have to gather around him. And
have an intervention?
No, they have to kind of let him go through this until he solves it himself. The psychiatrist in the town says that he's doing this delusion because he needs help, and you can't tell him this doesn't exist, it's not real. So everyone gathers around him. They treat her as a real person. So you have these beautiful images of him hanging out with her around, going to church and going to the local party or the restaurant. And then, of course, the end is very beautiful, how it all ends and how he is able to move on from this. But it's this absurd, ridiculous image with a very human story behind it. It's fantastic.
I love that. What is another one of your absolute a classic?
Harold and Maude.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's another one where it's just a beautiful story. Like, there's a quirkiness to it, but it's still grounded.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah.
Whoever sees dirtiness and naughtiness in that, you're a bad, bad person.
And also, I got to say, Jean-Pierre Jeunet is just amazing. He's known most for Amelie, but he also did Delicatessen, City Lost Children, Micmacs. I actually met my wife because I was at a coffee shop, and I was the story's different depending on who you talk to, me or her, or who it on who. But long story short, I brought up Micmacs to a friend. I was on the phone, said, do you want to go see this? And it started a conversation between us.
Yeah.
And it's just...
That's so romantic.
So that's nice. And that's beautiful.
I love it. What's her name, by the way?
Violette. She's actually,
Is she French?
She's French. And I've actually done some music videos for her as well, which are on the site as well.
Why? Is she a performer? Is she a
She's a singer and she plays piano and she writes her own songs.
Wow.
And is quite talented.
Wow. Yeah. Now, is she American-born French or she's from...
She's off the boat, France. Well, actually, no one takes the boat anymore, right?
But, yay! Yeah. Oh, I have many friends in France. So
From France... Been out here for about 6 years now.
Oh, my God. I bet she's got that cute little accent.
Yeah.
I love it. I got to hear her. Oh, next time you're in L.A., let's have her on.
Yeah,
we'll promote her CD.
Her website is violettemusic.com.
Violette. How do you spell that?
It's like Violet with an extra T and E. So V-I-O.
V-I-O.
L-E. Music.com.
Johnny Depp was married to a French singer. What was her name? But she's very good, too. Now, what are the best and worst things that you can do while pursuing a career as a director?
I think the worst thing you can do is be difficult to work with.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know your vision. You have to understand what it is you want out of a project. You have to be very steadfast with that, but at the same time, you need to be an easy person to work with, especially nowadays. Yeah. Like, the way the budgets are and the way things are changing and stuff, like, it's not the 90s anymore.
You can't be throwing and yelling and stuff. You can't be doing any Betty Davis shit these days. You can't be doing the diva thing.
And the best thing I would say is that go out and make your own stuff until people start to recognize it. And when they do recognize it, really hone in on a certain style.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times you want to do a ton of different genres and a ton of different things. And if you absolutely want to do that, then more power to you. Do it.
Yeah.
But in my experience, it's been much easier when I finally then focused in on comedy and a certain style of comedy, and that's it, and didn't try to be everything to everyone, but rather went with the thing that made me the most excited. Like, I would get boards in from the agency of different types of commercials, and every time I got the comedy ones, I would light up. Like, a couple years ago, we did one for Scope, actually. Keep on doing mouthwash for some reason. And it was called Bacon Flavored Mouthwash. And it was an April Fool's joke that they did. But I got this email, and it said bacon-flavored mouthwash as the subject, and I was like, yes.
Yeah!
You open it up, you know, and you get excited.
Wow.
You get jazzed about it and stuff.
Yeah.
So whatever gets you the most jazzed, whatever you get the most excited about, go after that and do that and focus on that. And don't try to do 100 different things, but just really go after the thing that makes you the most excited.
Now, I did not know you were so obsessed about comedy. I saw Texting Hat, but a lot of people do comedy, but they actually prefer drama, in my experience. Mm-hmm. So, I wanted to, along the lines of what you're saying...
Uh-oh.
Oh, I get a 5-minute warning.
Uh-oh.
It's a gong. It's crazy. Okay. So I have always been obsessed with sitcoms.
Mm-hmm.
Love them, love them, love them. As a baby, the only way they get me to shut up is prop me up in their sitcom. But I had never thought about being like a sitcom actress. And everybody's like, oh, you need to have your own show. You need to have your own reality show. You need to be on a sitcom. So I never, like, blah, 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 blah. I like directing. I like producing. Mm-hmm. I like producing because I'm extremely organized. So a friend of mine, Mary Lou Belli, 2-time Emmy-winning director, was on the show, and she said, Priscilla, I'm actually teaching a class. Very rarely does she do classes, but she was doing one. And Albert and I took it. Well, he didn't take it, but I took it, a sitcom class. Oh, my God, Brad, I was a natural. It was like I jumped in the water and I was swimming and swimming. I hit those beats. I didn't even know it, but I have a natural. Who knew? Mm-hmm. I have a natural ability for comedy. I had my timing, apparently, according to them. I'm not saying, I'm not tooting my own horn. But they said, and that is something that you may not know. I've gone all my life not knowing that I was meant, or I could have been. I think it's too late now. But I could have been a sitcom actor, so it can hit you at any time, right, Brad?
And I will say that, like, I'm not a laugh out loud comedy type of person. I'm more of an awkwardness, more close to who I am in real life. And so it's just more of more stuff like that I enjoy, like the absurdity and the awkwardness and everything like that. So for things like that, like, I love so much more stuff like Louis C.K., which I think is one of the most fantastic shows on TV right now. And it has that dark side to it. Yeah. It has the drama to it.
Yeah.
And it has the real life aspect, and it's less punchy and more just awkward.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. So that's like, that's my, I absolutely love what he did with that show.
Oh my God. Breaking Bad. People don't see that as a comedy. I saw it as a comedy. It was funny. It was dark and funny.
Nathan for You. Have you seen that?
No.
That's not scripted, but it's.
I love things that are not scripted, like David. What was the guy? Did Seinfeld?
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I love that show because it wasn't scripted.
Yeah. Well, they still had. I mean, and that's interesting about the writing process. It's like everyone thinks that writing is all about the dialogue. Not everyone. People think that the writing is about the dialogue, but a lot of it is just the story structure itself and the beats itself. And what they did is they had very good story structure set up. And therefore, when they went in, they were able to improv around that, which is why it's such a genius.
That's the best form of comedy, I think, improv. Now, what are you working on now, and what exciting things are coming in the future? Because, unfortunately, I had all these questions for you. Real quick, I will get one in. Real quick, we'll keep it at like 30 seconds. What can an actor do that would make them memorable to you that you would want to work with them again?
Again, it's just when you're on set, that collaborative effort. And also sometimes, like, there's this thing that happens where they don't quite know what you're trying to go for.
Yeah.
It's the director. And they do have to trust you a bit. Yeah. And you have to go forward and be like, trust me and move this on. Then again, it's my job to gain their trust and show, like, this is what I'm capable of doing and this is what we could do. So I think that, again, that collaboration back and forth and moving forward and you know, sometimes when stuff gets really crazy, you just have to hunker down and move forward
just
and everything.
Just listen to the director. He knows what he wants.
Well, it's not as simple
as an actor, you better be able to give it to him.
No, I don't mean as simple as that. Like, the actors I work with have fantastic ideas, and that's why I work with them, because it's a great collaboration and everything. But just to have that mutual respect back and forth.
Now, what do you feel are some... there's so many good questions. Okay, what do you feel are the steps? Just give me three to being a great director or to build a career as a successful director. Just three.
I don't know about three steps, but I would say that always be making something. Like, you always constantly have to be making something. So if the project's not coming in, or if the board's not coming in for commercials or the tracks for the music video,
pioneer your own way.
Just do it. Like, don't sit around. Just do it. So that's definitely one. The other one is study. Like, be watching these films, like, be scholarly about it, you know? Like, that's the one thing that I didn't realize until Fabrica, when people around me were just so intense in this.
Yeah.
And just really understood their craft and understood other people, what they're doing.
And inspires you and motivates you. Mm-hmm. Hang with people who have the same interest as you. Mm-hmm. It's hard when you have a mate that's not, you know, in the same business as you, because it drains the energy. You know, you need somebody to be excited about. So it's very good your wife is in the entertainment industry. Best and worst advice you were ever given when you told someone you wanted to be a director?
I think the best advice was probably somewhere along the lines of just keep on making stuff, like I said. Like, you can't sit around, you can't wait, you can't do that.
Worst advice,
I don't know, I'd probably block that one out.
Everybody says that. I always remember the worst advice.
If you emailed that to me, I would have thought about it. I would have something juicy to do. But
get a day job. Don't waste your... That would probably be it. What do you want to be a director for? There's so many other things you can be. Now, what are you working on now, and what can we expect from Brad?
Hasse.
Thank you. Yeah. Next time you come on, I'm going to practice and practice. What are you doing now, other than the feature film, which you're writing? Anything else exciting?
There's nothing in the pipeline at this present day right now. But we, with Derby, the production company that just got started up out of New York, I'm just looking forward to more commercials with them.
Okay.
More absurdity and ridiculousness with that. And basically, I'm just focusing on that. I'm doing that and the feature film. Like, that's... That's all.
Oh my God! I'm so excited about this feature film. Yeah. Now, you're here in LA at the AFM. What are you pitching at AFM?
I'm not actually pitching at AFM. I decided to come on down, like I said, in the whole process of you know, getting your feet wet and all this.
Is this your first time at AFM?
Yeah. I had some friends that were going that are also working with features and everything, and I used to live out in Los Angeles, so
you used to live here.
Yep.
Oh my gosh! I didn't know.
Bounced around between...
But you're from New York?
I'm from Phoenix.
You're from Phoenix?
Yeah. So this was the easiest hop over. When you got out of college, I went to Arizona State.
Ah!
It's like, where do you go? You just drive west with a blow-up mattress, and you figure it out. And then,
wow! Yeah. So when did you live here? In the 90s? Or?
No, I was in 2003 for like a year, and then another year after that for a year, and then... or half a year, and then in 2008, I think, or 9.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then I moved back to New York again, so...
Oh. Yeah. Wow, I did not know that. So you got friends out here.
Yeah.
When you come out here, you got friends to hook up with and stay and hang out. And
and what's a nice thing right now, like, a lot of them have, it's strange, but right now a couple of them have just finished up their first feature. Ranging from like Kickstarter low budget of $50,000 up to, you know, higher studio budget stuff. So it's been a fun time for me to come down here, be at the AFM, meet people there, but also talk with these friends that are gone through the process and just really make it all-consuming when it comes to
stuff. Are you
going to
shoot any out here in L.A.?
It's a single location, all in Brooklyn. That'll be it. So unless I find another script that we get funding for, then, you know, we'll see. So, yeah, if you have
maybe
a script laying around.
Oh, yeah. See, maybe you could direct my Sammy and Delilah.
Yeah.
That's a script. Oh, it's hysterical.
Let's talk about
that. The concept is, but I'd have to have you take a look at it. You tell me if it's funny. Yeah. But maybe you could direct it.
Let's talk about it. That's what it's all about.
I might have found my... Because I love what you did with Texting Hat. Again, everybody go right now to textinghat.com and get some Christmas presents for all your friends and your family members. Brad, will you come back?
Yes, absolutely.
Next year?
Yeah,
yay!
Let's do it.
All right. So, Brad, thank you so much for being on the show. We're looking forward to you coming back. Thank you so much for tuning in. Next week, we have Alicia Cooper from Last Comic Standing up in the house. She's going to be bringing the comedy. So we will see you next week. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
See you.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.